All right, this will probably be our biggest show to date because we're going to be recapping the Elimination Chamber, the TNA No Surrender Go Home show, and then the pay-per-view from TNA No Surrender. Just like to tell anybody listening on YouTube, you can get this episode quicker through Spotify or anywhere you get your podcast. So if you want to hear it a little bit quicker, because my laziness of putting it on YouTube, you can do it that way. But let's get started with WWE Elimination Chamber. Now, this was a super early one from Australia. I'm sure a lot of people watched it, you know, the replay of it and not live. But, buddy, I give you a lot of credit for even watching the replay of it. How was it? Elimination Chamber match. The women's match started us off.
It was fine. It wasn't anything. I mean, they made a big deal about it, of course, but it was like, it was just a match.
I've heard raving reviews about this.
They did stuff to pop the crowd, mostly, I think, the way they, because it's like the Rumble, you know, the people come out of the pods periodically and everybody's countdown and all that. So I can understand why they want to do that. But they usually do save the guys for either later in the show or for the main event.
Says here, Becky Lynch defeated Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez. Do you think you lose a little bit of luster now that there's two of these types of matches on the show? Royal Rumble, there's two Rumbles. Elimination Chamber, there's two Chamber matches. Do you think the uniqueness is obviously it gets hurt here, right? Doing double these matches.
This seems like a watered down version of it. I think I'd space them 6 months apart, you know, so it's not the same thing one right after the other.
Well, and I heard, like, you know, some pirates were trying to steal the cage just so, you know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have to be this way, you know.
I had to go a pretty roundabout route. Next time I'm going to finance the pirates. I'll start a GoFundMe for him, get better equipment.
So anyway, Becky Lynch. Now this gets her to WrestleMania. Is that how this works?
Yeah, and I'm not sure what. I don't know if they've faced off before, but I'm not sure what Becky Lynch is going to get you here. I mean, I guess she's beloved by the crowd, but so is Bianca Belair, and she's kind of rising up. So I think you'd want to use her, but I'm not booking the thing.
Yeah, so it says Liv Morgan suddenly was rolled up by Belair and pinned her and then walked right into a manhandle slam by Lynch, giving Lynch the victory.
Yeah, there was no, you thought, okay, well, this is it. This is the final battle. It's like, nope, damn, boom, boom, she's out.
All right.
Two eliminations, one right after the other.
After that, the undisputed WWE tag titles. Damian Priest and Finn Balor defeat the new Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Pete Dunne, did he get his name back?
Yes, he did.
Wasn't he like Noah or Jeremiah or something?
Butch.
Okay, well, there you go. Sorry.
Butch something.
I was going through my Alabama names.
Put him in a 30s driving cap piece of shit. It's like, what? I don't get it.
So
but then when you let writers figure out shit for the wrestlers, that's what you get.
This was supposedly another great match. What says you?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad match. Considering the guys you got involved, it's not too bad. But I don't feel like there was a whole lot of... I wouldn't know because I generally don't watch a lot of WWE. I was going over all I'd have to watch and then get to the pay-per-view. It's a lot of stuff to watch.
I sent you, you know, those people that on X, Twitter, whatever, that do those stats, you know, how much actual wrestling's on a show or, you know, women's wrestling, blah, blah, blah. They did one about the Elimination Chamber that I was, if you read it, you're like, no way, because these shows are like 4 hours long. And it was like a little bit over an hour of wrestling. They said at one time there is almost an hour wait between matches. And what on earth? How? Like this wouldn't slide in the $50 days, you would
living. For the Aussie audience, it was probably fine because they don't get down there that often. But for the pay-per-view, yeah, they had to pad the hell out of the thing. They had a stupid, crap-ass, raw type segment with what's his name?
This is what we're about to get into now. Grayson Waller effect.
Grayson Waller. Yeah, they had that. They had a stupid talk show, which was dumb, filled with stupid-ass corny jokes. It just wasn't worth it at all.
They said this took up a lot of time with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Yep.
They did a shoey, which is drinking beer out of a shoe, with a UFC fighter.
Yeah. It's dumb.
Anyway, so what...
Like I said, something to play to the Aussie crowd, apparently.
Cody challenges Rock to a one-on-one match?
Yeah, I guess they're going to somehow do that before WrestleMania? I don't know.
I mean, it'll draw. I mean, can you imagine right now? And can you tell me why? Why is WWE right now just such on an upward trajectory? Like, their ticket sales are awesome. You know, the ratings are good. Why?
Mm-hmm. I would have to watch more of the product to tell you.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
As far as I can tell, it's the same kind of stuff.
It's just WrestleMania season, right? It has to be, but they were on fire before that. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe men's elimination chamber. This is before the non-binary elimination chamber, which is later in the show. This was actually surprising to me. This is actually probably the right call here. Drew McIntyre beats Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, and Kevin Owens. This sounds like a good lineup, but was it good?
Yeah. It was fine. It was a good, you know, back and forth, beat each other up match. Phil, something that didn't really make a whole lot of sense, I guess. AJ Styles did not have a match on the pay-per-view or pre-show or anything, but somehow he shows up to waffle LA Knight because he's pissed at him. Flies all the way to Australia just to do a chair shot on him.
Well, and I heard, that's like the longest flight you can get, right? Here to Australia, yeah. It's insane.
It's a ways. So, I don't know. They, like I said, it overall wasn't a bad match at all. It was fun to watch.
Well, so how did Logan Paul do?
Yeah. He did pretty good. He did some goofy shit, like he was drawn on the plexiglass with a marker inside of his pod.
Oh, he drew a dick or something.
But he's doing that to kill time till his pod came open. Kevin Owens, they're still ruining the Kevin Owens grudge against him because Kevin Owens was on him as soon as he got out there and started wailing the tar out of him. So
nah.
They're still continuing that.
So
they all did fun.
So it looks like that would be Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins, which, you know, that'll be solid.
Yeah. He said Rollins said he's just like a few days away from being cleared to come back. So I imagine we'll have some stuff on TV that'll set it up even more.
It's a shame I'll miss that. Triple H came out, said the attendance was over 50,000. And then we got the main event that had Nia Jax in it.
Yes.
Rhea Ripley defeats Nia Jax.
It's Jumbo Shrimp.
So was Ripley able to pull a good match out of this?
She tried.
She gave it a go.
Nia Jax is just, she's just a boat anchor, as far as I can tell, you know? She's in there. She's up. She's around. So she's in decent enough shape to do it. That's not that good at it, you know? And Rhea Ripley, of course, she's in front of the hometown crowd. And unlike most times, I mean, they'd have had a riot if they had Nia Jax beat her. they all threw that into it. So she did end up winning, but again, it was a middling match. It wasn't anything to write home about, in my opinion.
Well, good for them. So the next one is WrestleMania, correct? There's nothing in between this, right?
You know, usually March was when we expected WrestleMania, but I know it's drifted over to April sometimes, so I'm not sure. I'd have to check.
I would think so. So
they usually have, they have one buffer pay-per-view between Rumble and that one, so.
Yeah, so it's probably the next one, I would assume.
Probably.
But there might be some, you know, like, makeshift one where, you know, no titles change and there's nothing interesting on it. But, I mean, I think the next one should be.
Vaseline or some shit.
Yeah. If it gets reviewed, that's all on you, brother. So. Unless there's just nothing going on, I'll probably not see. Because the two-night thing is just, it's a little ridiculous
to
me.
It's too much.
And if I do watch it, it will be one night probably. It'll probably be the Sunday night, or I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Leaning on the fast-forward button real heavy.
Anyway, now we move on to the longest 2 hours of weekly wrestling, and that's TNA, baby.
God.
Scott D'Amore is long gone, but you can't tell it on these shows.
Yeah.
I read the report that he got people together and he offered $10 million for TNA and it was turned down. That didn't seem like a large number to me.
It didn't to me either. It's like, it seems kind of low. Or it would be low for what Anthem would want for it. Or...
A billionaire conglomerate? Yeah. Hey, how about a mill? No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's what I heard. But anyway, let's get this show
started. Like,
go ahead.
The other thing, too, was a couple of news things. They, on X, Twitter, whatever, they a few of the talents put an hourglass as a post. I don't know what that means particularly. It's we're waiting, or you've got a time limit before you do whatever you're going to do, Anthem. I don't know.
Days of Our Lives fans?
Really explain it. Something.
Yeah.
Sands through the hourglass, bitches. The other one was Josh Alexander didn't exercise his option to renew his contract with TNA. He's going to finish it out, but so far he doesn't look like he's committed to signing with them to stay on, so.
Oh, I did read about that. They exercised the option, right? He didn't re-sign, but they exercised the option. Like, so, hey,
right?
I guess they had some kind of clause in there, which is weird. That seems more sports team than it would wrestling.
I think he's just kind of exercising, you know, saying, yeah, I'll see what the landscape has and if I can go somewhere else or something.
Which, I mean, he could have already been somewhere else. I mean, but...
Oh, yeah.
He didn't do it, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's your nice, comfy bed of nails. Deal with it.
There you go.
But that is interesting, the hourglass thing, because I don't know how many long-term contracts they have at TNA. But
I didn't look at all the names, but I'm Jordan Grace, Tommy Dreamer. I'm not sure who else.
Jordan Grace would be a hell of a pickup for anybody.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer, I'm sure, can, you know, drive a forklift at Menards or something.
He can, I mean, he can be backstage doing something, but let's not put him in the ring, please. He's done.
Opening match of the Go Home show, Chris Sabin defeated Jason Hotch. And it seems like the good hands, which are the, like, I don't know, they love Mustafa Ali, even though when the pay-per-view hit, spoiler alert, they weren't even there for him. But, you know.
At the pay-per-view?
Or were they?
Yeah, this briefly.
Oh, briefly. Okay, I just saw the guys in suits having to claim
that
they
pointless,
had earpieces or whatever.
It was a pointless run-in.
Ah.
It didn't make any difference. It didn't make any difference in the match at all, though.
Anyway, Jason Hotch and Skyler must have saw those Young Bucks bloody tuxedos and were like, hey, that looks cool. Let's rip that shit off for gear. I don't know if these guys could be any more buried than they are, but Chris Sabin defeats Jason Hotch. So these two guys love another guy that hasn't even gone into the company yet, and then they just job out. So I don't know how far underground a squad can get, but we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Either way, Sabin's good. So
yeah,
it's worth getting through. Hype video for Ollie, of course. And then here we go. The System cut a promo. And, you know, what I've said this before, what just a thrown together trio this is. It just I don't know, there's something missing to it. It just seems, they seem tacky. Yeah,
there's no chemistry.
You know what I mean? And it's obvious, you know, it's like forced laughing and, you know, I don't know, whatever. Don't like it. When they're on the screen, it's a, what happened to Nick Nemeth here? He hasn't been around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's.
I know he's doing the New Japan stuff, but I mean, why didn't they just wait for that to end?
If you're going to let WWE, if you're going to name check WWE and all that shit, why don't you just name check New Japan too?
Ah, I don't get it. Anyway, next.
See, look, we're in a vital wrestling ecosystem here. We're not afraid of mentioning our competitors' names, blah blah blah. But then you're supposed a big new superstar. You don't mention him for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Simon Gotch defeated Jack Price in a squash. Simon Gotch's entrance doesn't match his gimmick to me.
No.
Like the cyberpunk-esque EDM helmet, but then it's him. It just doesn't match to me. It's cool, but I mean, it just doesn't, I don't know. Just a little minor gripe. Josh Alexander was in the commentary booth. He doesn't ever need to be. That's just not his strength. Just like that talk show he did with the Allen Angels, that wasn't good either. But anyway, it was a squash to get Gotch going a little bit. It was all right.
Yeah.
Grizzled Young Vets. They do, you know, they do good promos. They're fired up.
Yeah.
Video package on Khan. No one needs to see that. Then, you know, I talk about how the System's is a thrown together trio, right? But how about this thrown together trio? Steve Macklin, the, you know, clean cut, no nonsense Marine, with the Rascals. Two like goofy young stoners. I mean, they've had vignettes where they're just high and everything, and you know, taking nothing serious. And these three guys are a thing. They hang out.
Yeah, I think they're really severely limited by their talent pool. Like it's been said, Scott D'Amore was trying to get more budget to get more people in there, to get more talented people in there, whatever. And if you didn't get that, you got to work with what you got. And if that's the only thing they got is this, you already got this other tag team, you know, involved with the System. You got the one guys, I guess you got with Mustafa Ali. How much is left? You know?
I don't know. It just seems, again, like a thrown together thing. It doesn't make much sense. I mean, whatever.
Especially when it's supposed to be Macklin against Nemeth. Just leave it at that. You didn't need to gild it up any.
And there's no Nemeth there now. So it's odd. No. It just got cut off, and now this is the new feud, and we have Steve Macklin defeating Trent Seven. Trent Seven's never seen a gym he didn't like. No, I'm just kidding. He's never seen a gym.
This wasn't quite a squash match, but it might as well have been.
This was a solid match. I mean, you know, both these guys do everything pretty good. But much like every Steve Macklin match, it's so vanilla, I don't care. The dude is just vanilla. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he did do like a spear to the guy's balls, you know, like in a tree of woe. You know, that was kind of cool. But but yeah, like you said, Macklin took most of this match with a guy that's debuting that you have signed to a somewhat long-term contract. That's weird to me. Like,
yeah, they're working around. I guess, I mean, that's a case where we're a little small time. So if the big star needs to go to Japan for a little while, then we'll just figure something out. And this is what they figured out, apparently.
Yeah, well, good on them. Of course, this is TNA, so there had to have been shenanigans and, you know, all kinds of run-ins and shit. So, whatever. So, Macklin gets the victory. Giselle Shaw backstage, again, saying that the Entourage is no more, which is like the third or fourth time we've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. There's no more. I get it. And then we go backstage, and Trent Seven and Bailey, they're there with the Rascals. Again, TNA loves their backstage. They could cut a lot of this out. They really could.
Yep.
But
prolong the matches a little, or even stick it with the accumulated time. Put some of the lower card guys there to do something.
They don't need to show the system multiple times. They don't need to show the Rascals. Just once. Just once. It's all good. Just once.
Yep.
Frankie Kazarian comes out to the ring, or to the ramp, I'm sorry. Said he wasn't in the mood to wrestle Eric Young, and said that, what did he say, someone from the past is haunting him or something. And it ends up being a Big Damo, which is, I haven't seen him since WWE gave him the walking papers. And this match was fine. But you know what wasn't fine after Eric Young defeats Big Damo is whatever mindless rambling he said afterwards. He was like, I don't understand what's going on with you, Kazarian. I don't understand anything, but I do understand what's going in my, and you're just like, dude, come on. This is rough.
Stop.
Rough. Anyway, Tasha Steele's talking about Zaya Brookside, and then Jody Threat and Danny Luna were backstage also talking about that tag division, that stacked tag division.
Was this like a, did they put the wrong one on the show? Because this is a horrible promo.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. When TNA's bad, it's bad. And then I will admit here, the personal concierge of Ash by Elegance, this was kind of a cool little take on it. He got in there, you know, he asked the jobber, hey, what's your name? And he made the referee and the jobber leave the ring. And he, you know, it was cool. I was prepared to really hate this, and it wasn't all that bad. So,
yeah.
He announces the Ash by Elegance, and it wasn't the worst squash match you'll see. It was all right.
Yeah.
But yeah. I could see it getting old pretty quick if they're just gonna have him out there all the time.
Very.
You know what I mean? Very.
Yes.
If he's just doing that for pay per views, cool. You can't have him doing it every week. You know what I mean? It's just
no.
Anyway,
I'm sure he'll do it to a degree all the time until it's worn out.
Oh, the system. Here we go again. They defeat Alex Shelley, Kushida, and Kevin Knight. I like the Moose Kevin Knight stuff. I didn't mind that. The rest of it was just paint by numbers to me. It wasn't bad. Again, wasn't bad.
And again, we're setting up for a pay-per-view, so we're not going to do anything crazy to get anybody hurt before the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, the crowd said the system sucked, so it's a smart crowd. They're smart, you know. they know their stuff. But anyway,
that's right, isn't it? The system sucks.
Anyway, they you know, they kept the system looking strong, which that's usually not typical because, you know, like for the longest time going into a pay-per-view, they would probably actually put over the baby faces here, but that wasn't the case as the heels end up going over both nights, which I didn't, that's another spoiler alert, but I didn't think that was necessary.
They're trying to put over the system is maybe going to pull a fast one on Moose or something. They kind of set that up as a possibility, but I, you know, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. So yeah, they're trying to say, you know, you can't throw in the towel. You can't throw in the towel. Okay. And
like you're foreshadowing that they're going to throw in the towel.
Yeah. Which is fine. And then that, you know, that's happened before in matches, but here's where I have a problem as we are now getting into the pay-per-view. And, you know, I'll get a little bit out of order here, but how in the living hell is Moose and Alex Shelley no DQ, but Khan and PCO is just a regular, everyday, catch-as-catch-can match, even though they've been going to town on each other outside the ring for weeks and killing each other.
That's the kind of match they specialize in, man.
That's TNA TNAing, right? That's so ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It's like you've never watched the show before, but you're our loyal fans. Yeah, we're loyal fans. We've watched the show before. In fact, we've already watched a lot of wrestling, and we know that's not how this should work. Don't tell us, don't piss on our head and tell us it's raining, basically.
Yeah. So anyway, now we get into No Surrender. Crowd was pretty up for this. Again, another good TNA crowd this time. Some of these tapings are hit or miss, but it seems like, I guess, the big shows, you know, we'll get the good crowds. I believe.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
There was a, apparently there was one that a fan filmed, I think. Might have been a fan from TNA. The Eric Young had a lot of people, a lot of the roster came out with Eric Young, and they did sort of a little rally the troops speech about TNA and the timing, and he was acting all borderline emotional about it and that kind of thing. I'm not sure what he was trying to convey, if he was trying to kind of subtly say, you know, it's, we know Scott's gone, we're all not completely okay with that, but we're going to forge ahead. Or if this was supposed to be some kind of subtle signal to Anthem to say, hey, you better do this shit right, or you're going to have a kind of a mutiny on your hands. But it was never that threatening or that blatant about it. He just basically said, we're going to make this work as best we can. You know, because that's what you do, is you get up and keep going.
Well, I mean, that's inspirational.
It seemed bland, and it seemed like they were sending a signal to someone, but there wasn't a super clear signal what he was trying to send with that speech.
I mean, that's what D'Amore was coming out doing, right? Screaming TNA, and, you know, crocodile tears and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, man. I can't tell the difference. What's different?
Not so far.
I mean, yeah, not yet. I mean, he's been gone, you know, not a month.
Yep.
But I can't tell the difference. It's, I mean, like this. I think this was pre-show match. Rascals defeat Speedball Mountain. So Trent Seven's doing a reverse Goldberg here in his early TNA tenure. But again, guess what? There's going to be some interference, man. Of course there is.
Yeah.
When the ref gets distracted. Yeah, exactly. So Macklin comes out, chop block to Bailey, and then I don't know if there was a heel hook or a knee bar or whatever, but anyway, Rascals beat them.
Yep.
Whatever. Again.
But I watched the regular pay-per-view. And I realized there was a pre-show. I went back and watched the pre-show. This match I thought was actually pretty good. It was a good opening match to get the crowd fired up. It was very quick paced, a lot of one after the other stuff. I don't think the Macklin thing was necessary, but
That's why TNA, they mar themselves with. They'll have a good match like this, and then it'll be marred with the bullshit, the distractions, or the run. Who cares? Just
stuff
wins or losses. It's not that big of a deal, but not this. You know, like I don't know.
And again, and the thing with not noticing a difference so far, they had to build up to this pay per view, and D'Amore apparently had a lot of his hand in this to get it to the pay per view. So maybe the next week we'll see something a little different, hopefully.
Well, I have taping results. Again, we'll talk about after the show. They've already taped, so we'll see how different it is. But tell me this: the whole keep someone strong by them losing theory, like the Trent Seven thing. You know, Macklin beats him, but there is shenanigans, interference, you know. So, I mean, you know, you never know. And then he loses again now. Again, interference, a little bit of shenanigans and stuff. Now, do you still in your head, you know, like, man, that Trent Seven, he's pretty strong? Or do you just think, he's just a loser?
I was actually more with this. The one I saw against him and Macklin solo, I was like, this, but because it was kind of a squash, I'd never really seen him wrestle before. Like I said, I'm back in watching TNA period for the past couple months.
Well, I mean,
he looked better in this match than he did in that one.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, he loses. And if they're going to count, if winning and losing matters, then yeah, he doesn't look as strong as he should.
The system. Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers defeat Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Yep.
What'd you think about this?
Minus any other bullshit, I still thought this was a pretty damn good match. Fun one to get the crowd pumped up. They had two of them in a row. Pretty decent matches just for wrestling's sake.
I don't think there was any real stinkers on No Surrender.
Let's get into a stinker.
We'll get
there shortly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I looked at what's next, and I lied. I'm already lying. Yeah. Eric Young defeats Frankie Kazarian to earn a future TNA World title shot. Frankie Kazarian comes down and demands the ring announcer to say that he's the king of TNA, as if this is something to be, you know, proud of. Is this like being the tallest midget?
Prettiest guy in prison.
Right? And then who cares? And the end of this match was ass.
Yes.
It wasn't a particularly good match in, you know, the entirety of it. But then at the very end, just after, you know, the backstabber and what is it, Fade to Black?
Mm-hmm.
Kazarian randomly argues with the ref because, you know, it's close count, right? And then it wasn't quite a crucifix bomb because, I mean, or maybe it was supposed to be, I don't know. It kind of ended up being a little bit of a sloppy crucifix by a guy that was just nearly pinned. Eric Young gets the win over Kazarian and then immediately starts, you know, grinning. And this wasn't good.
No, the crucifix roll up type. It's a roll up, but it's, you know, at least you approach it differently with the crucifix.
Yeah, it's still borderline.
It's still a roll up. he didn't do anything. He didn't really do anything traumatic to Kaz to warrant a pin. You know,
and then
that's the ones I always have a problem with.
And then Kazarian goes nuts on the ref. And some of this looked pretty good, actually. but, you know.
Yeah, initially, initiating it looked kind of awkward.
Yeah, like, I know, because.
You're not paying attention.
Yeah, when he was grabbing him. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. It was kind of like, that was kind of like weird. It was almost like he was.
I'm supposed to beat on you.
Yeah, like pulling the invisible rope or whatever. That's what it looked like, you know what I mean?
After he wailed on him, that's cool. But then none of the wrestlers came out. It was all referees and security.
Oh, and at first it looked like nothing but refs by the camera angle. I'm like, who gives a damn if it's five refs? And then they're like, ah, security's here too. I was like, oh, well, all right. But at first, it looked like nothing but refs. I'm like, who cares? But anyway.
It's a gauntlet match.
Who would have thought that this was going to get to match three? But it did. ABC defeated the Grizzled Young Veterans. I don't know if this was the way to go, unless Grizzled Young Veterans aren't full-time and long-term. Or, you know, I don't know contracts. But
yeah,
I would have went the other way with this, just because ABC, Bay and Ace Austin, they've been established. They've been a team. They've had these belts. They've been around a long time. I would have maybe made them chase it here. But, I mean, good match. What's your thoughts on it?
I thought it was a good match. It was mostly typical, but there's some good tag moves here and there. But, yeah, if they've had a good, decent run with it, it was probably time for them to chase the belts with a heel team having them. You know, that's usually a good, really good formula.
They did like a doomsday device, suicide dive kind of deal.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Some of the moves were great. The wrestling you usually can't fault in TNA. It's just the angles you do and the results you put out don't make for a very compelling story.
And of course, we got to have a backstage segment. Rascals and Speedball Mountain. And I think he was just saying, you know, oh, you tapped out and fake cried or whatever. Yeah. You just said that you can't really fault the wrestling. The wrestling is great in TNA. And that's maybe not indicative of this next match.
Ooh.
As PCO defeats Khan. And Khan came out, what did he, look like a lumberjack? Is that what he was going for? A little bit of like a lumberjack, but that likes to ride his hog on the weekends too? Is that what that was? PCO comes out with his typical, you know, ridiculous, you know, doctors are shocking him. I mean, nowhere near, you know, his body, but shocking him to life or whatever it is. This was the worst thing on the show. But did we expect that? We expect that.
Yeah. It was a cluster. It was a cluster because they didn't set it up as a, if they'd have put it in context, like you said, here, we're gonna have them put on a nice technical Greco-Roman match. That was never going to happen with these guys. That's not their gimmicks. So don't present it as a standard match where they can get a DQ. These two are here to rip each other apart. That's at least all we've ever seen from them coming up to this match.
Yeah, so
just make it that.
Yeah, ends up being a DQ, and then they just brawl. And they've already successfully made that his neck-snapping gimmick kind of stupid because he did it to Diener. Diener's fine. He did it to PCO. He's done it to PCO like six times now.
Nice.
Right,
twice in this match.
Twice in this match alone, but I think he did it to him before, you know, weeks prior. It doesn't matter. Obviously it's not killing the person, but
no.
Neck snapping. It's just
the rolling senton onto the apron looked kind of like it was a mistake.
Yeah,
but it's like, dude, you're a big dude. I wouldn't be doing that a whole lot.
Yeah, and you know the worst part about this is an ending.
No, this is just the stupidest part. He comes in and he does some zip ties him to the set, does his neck snap again, and like he barely sells it. Starts moaning and groaning again, and he's got him at his mercy with that zip tie situation. He just turns around and leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Finally has him where he would want him, you would think, but nah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I snap your neck. I'll see you later.
This leads us to the wrestler of the week for me, and it is PCO. This was great.
He won the match.
You damn right he did. Yeah, anyway, MK Ultra defeats Decay. What, you got thoughts on this?
Battle of the Edgy Goth Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Again, it was a match. It was a match. I'm not invested in either one of these teams. It's like the two heel teams beating each other. You gave me no compelling reason why I should care.
Backstage, more system, because that's what you don't want to see.
Oof.
Moose tells him, no matter what, you just don't throw in the towel. Just can't, you know, so, you know, we're trying to build up a little bit of drama with that.
Right.
And then we have Josh Alexander defeating Simon Gotch. What are your thoughts on this before I get into mine? Because
they're building Alexander. If he, you know, with the Will Ospreay thing, they got to keep him going. Otherwise, that was kind of pointless.
I expected better.
Like I'm going to say, virtually every match, good match. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that they were doing a lot of exchanges of actual holds and locks and reversals and stuff like that. I don't know. Again, like you said with the goofy ass mask thing, I don't know what that is. That seems to be a trend in wrestling lately. We'll come out there wearing a mask and whip it off your head to make it look like some big scary reveal or something. It's like, I know it was you, dude. I saw you last week. Eh.
Who's under the mask? Oh, it's Gotch.
His chest look weird, man. I don't know if he was on something. Now he's not on it anymore because it looks like his nipples are melting off of his pecs.
I think he's a former foodie. I mean, I really do. I think he was a big boy at one time or something.
Was he?
I think so.
I don't remember him looking like that. I guess he wore a singlet when he was in WWE, so
maybe
I didn't get to see that. But yeah, that just struck me as, man, your nipples are below your pecs, man. Is that what's supposed to happen? They're migrating. Let's see. I thought it was funny. Whatever his name is now, Aiden English.
Mm-hmm.
And did a promo about being manly real briefly. I thought that was kind of funny with the vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, they, like I said, it wasn't a bad match, but it was super quick. I don't know if it's not over. They're going to try to continue the program for a little while.
Well, I think,
Alexander got the win.
With the lack of roster, they have to kind of do rematches nonstop and stuff, but yeah, power mm-hmm. bomb backbreaker into the whatever he calls the pile driver,
C4 spike pile driver.
Okay, and yeah, it was good. I just expected more. I don't know why. It just maybe it was a little slow for my likings, but I mean, it was a good match. It was fun.
Yeah.
Backstage, AJ Francis, Rich Swann, something about explosion. I don't know. I thought this was going to be the Hendry AJ Francis stuff, but I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, I wish I knew what was going on there, because that seems like that's more the feud.
But
they're building to Rich Swann, but they're ignoring what they could actually have with Hendry.
Strange. A couple things are strange, but I don't know. Maybe Hendry's, you know, he's off doing other stuff too. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't look that deep into it. Moose retains the TNA World Title by beating Alex Shelley. Was this the right call for you?
I mean, either way, it didn't really. If it broke up the system, I'd rather that Shelley.
Yes.
Win.
Yeah.
But the way it was done, I don't know if they should have let Kushida handle the towel bit. It just looked.
It wasn't out of good. I didn't love that. You know, and then this was. I dare you say this was another good match. It was.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, some
good,
of this.
This is what the PCO with the PCO con match should have been. They should have had these stipulations on them, and had a slightly different. The throwing in the towel thing was just dumb.
Yeah,
wasn't done well, and I don't think it was never going to look good.
They set up a trash can kind of in the middle of the ring, if no one's seen it, and it kind of looked like there's going to be something a lot more brutal than what it ended up being.
Yeah.
But for a second, I'm like, oh, man, this could be bad.
But it's still one of those cheap-ass tinfoil trash cans.
Yeah, he ended up kind of sliding off the front of it.
It looks bad, but it's not really bad.
But anyway, he puts like a log chain around his body and starts spearing Alex Shelley, and it would hurt both of you, by the way.
Yes.
But
yes.
Okay.
The whole arm bending, finger breaking stuff looked a little more painful and gruesome to me than wrapping a chain around your body and doing spears. I just thought it was a crap ending because the Kushida throwing in the towel thing was just, it didn't look right.
Again, we discussed this earlier. This is this TNA. Alex Shelley still looks strong with a loss. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't. Because if there's no rematch or nothing, you're not going to be like, hey, you remember when Alex Shelley looked strong against Moose?
Yeah.
No, I don't
Moose walked out with the belt.
Yeah, I mean, now, you know, Moose looks pretty strong. Yeah, just because, I mean, he was in control. And then afterwards, he, you know, speared him again. But I don't know. And the next program is Moose Eric Young. Paint me not so excited for that.
Hey, Kazarian's going to interfere. I'll call it now.
You are not going out on a ledge, my friend.
No, I'm not. That's the problem.
Do you think Eric Young will have his plastic Dr. Doom mask on?
I hope not. I hope he just abandons that crap. It's a dumb gimmick.
He's crazy,
like,
man.
Notch.
I don't know.
Crazy in that he puts 2% milk instead of whole milk on his cereal. That's about as crazy as he fucking gets, you know, as his character looks.
TNA Knockouts title. Giselle Shaw, who's been carrying around that big red X.
Yes.
I think you mentioned on a previous show how stupid that is.
Yeah. It's
anyway.
Great. Once you turn it in, you don't need to carry it around anymore. Just say, I turned in my X Division championship for a title shot. Option C.
Yeah, it just looks stupid, too. I mean,
yeah, it's using it as a weapon's dumb. It's unwieldy. It's big.
I always thought carrying around a briefcase was kind of stupid. Because, I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, honestly, you know, you have to really, you know, the contract and the briefcase thing, because how many matches are just set up when someone says, well, we're going to wrestle now. And, you know, the other person's like, no, I don't want to, but they have to. Well, did you guys sign that contract? So that's, you know, suspending disbelief on that whole contract thing. But man, you're carrying around a big plastic X or whatever that is.
Yeah, that just looks stupid. The briefcase I can see because it's not that far from a title belt, and they waffle guys with that all the time. The big metal briefcase, that makes a little sense. The X thing just looks kind of silly.
I carry around a fleshlight. Anyway.
I'm either hitting somebody with it, or either way, I'm having a good time.
Right. Jordan Grace defeats Giselle Shaw, and Jordan Grace, I was pretty impressed with her in this one. A lot of good moves here, and it made me want to watch her more and more. So
she looked good, but she couldn't quite pull a decent one out of Shaw, I don't think. And part of it is, this gets to a whole thing that I'll cap this off with, but they did introduce Giselle Shaw as a potential diva. It's like, that's the problem. That is the whole problem.
Yeah.
Having Ash by Elegant, Ash come out there to sit there and watch the match. Okay, whatever.
Wasn't on commentary, correct? I don't believe.
Just ringside.
Were they worried about exposing her mic skills or something? Because they could have had the personal concierge on the mic or something.
Yeah, that's what I think. Remembering her, some of her promo work from WWE, pretty sure he's going to be a fixture for her. But Giselle Shaw, she tried to hit what could have been it's a flourishy type thing. A diving splash is pretty standard. She was trying to do this twisty in the air, spinny splash. She kind of botched it. Didn't look quite right. Grace was setting her up for a pump handle type thing, and she had reached her hand under her crotch to, hopefully grab her hand, but she didn't have her hand in position. So Grace was there flapping her fingers like, hey, your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to quickly put it in there. And she did redeem herself a little bit by doing the Spanish fly to the floor.
And there's a joke in there that I'm not going to tell since Giselle Shaw is transed up.
But then Grace does the juggernaut driver to get a pin. Like I said, overall wasn't horrible, but I could see a lot of screw-ups. I think their editing team does a great service to them, if that's what goes on pretty regularly.
This, I can't believe that this was going to be the first X Division title main event in 18 years. Seriously? Mm. Well, and if that's the case, that's ridiculous. But hey, there's an actual X Division match on a TNA show. When's the last time we've seen that? I mean, I guess Saban beat that jobber last on the Go Home show, but man, the X Division has not been a thing for like a few weeks.
No.
And now it's the main event. No,
again, for something that was their kind of standout thing before NXT and all that stuff, you'd think they'd trade on that a little bit more. But again, the roster is kind of anemic.
And here we go. This is what I was talking about. The next program's Jake something is taking on the winner of this. Now, So Jake can beat the X Division guys, but if it's Frankie Kazarian, he's going down.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Why did that match have to happen?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what's your thoughts on the Mustafa Ali, Chris Sabin X Division title match? And was the entrance corny to you like it was to me? It just seemed like Ali in his typical wrestling gear.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like a rip-away tux or anything like that.
No.
So it looked odd.
I officially hate this gimmick.
No, it's not.
I think they should. Yeah. I think they should just drop it. It's for one thing, it's too late. That whole thing has come and gone.
Is Ali even old enough to be president in real life?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? But it just doesn't fit him.
And they tried to tried to even bolster it up by saying that he was polling really well. With who? Why? Dude, you're trying too fucking hard. It's not convincing. It's not going to get him over. Just knock it off. If you want to have him come down there with cornermen to interfere or even take hits for him, that was a fairly unique use of the silent Secret Service guys
who
protect getting taken a hit,
who were kind of dweebs that didn't know when to have their have their hands up for the earpiece.
Yeah. But yeah, again, hate this gimmick. It's just dumb and it's useless. It doesn't add anything to it, to Ali's character at all. But again, good X Division match. They did some really cool stuff. The unnecessary interference with the good hands, it didn't make a difference in the match at all. Saban was back on top for a minute, then Ali was back on top. It just didn't do anything. They just stuck him in there to keep him involved, I guess.
So
they needed the 450 bomb for the finish.
So, yeah, Chris Sabin, obviously, very solid. You won't see like a mediocre match out of him. So you knew it was going to be it's good. And this is Ali's, you know, his get good tour, you know, like I'm the, you know, and he's, don't get me wrong, he seems more indie than what like Nick Nemeth is doing. You know, this, you know, he definitely seems like he'll, he can, you know, thrive on this, you know, indie scene and this kind of stuff more than Nick Nemeth. Whether he does or not, who knows, but
right,
he can obviously pull off a lot of the stuff. Crowd was definitely behind Ali. The heel?
Oh, yeah.
Was he there? Was
it seemed kind of split.
What is he? Is he a bad guy? I guess he's a bad guy. He's a heel?
Apparently.
Anyway, it was a good match.
He came out there with help. So,
yeah.
You know.
And they said this is what, the first time someone debuted and won the title? I think that's...
Is it?
I think that's what they said. I could have been wrong. Huh. I mean, for whatever reason, I totally missed the good hands coming out and interfering, like I said earlier. So maybe I was probably... But you know what? I watched the shows back to back.
That's why. It was a blink if you miss a thing. That's why it was useless.
Yeah. So I must have, I don't know, I must have been looking away or something. I don't know. But anyway, so that's, so overall, what do you say? You know, it's good matches. Bad storylines to me.
Yes.
So
if you're just tuning in for work rate, you probably wouldn't be horribly disappointed. It was an okay watch. But if you're looking for something compelling to shore up the matches to make them that much more compelling, you didn't get shit.